stop the things that you were doing. I'll think of we
know something about what I'm doing. I've never yet the server work quite the same way. Usually take it right in order that two things I want to tell you about. Number one was worth reading the passage. We're not going to be just the three that we talked about in the bulletin. We'll be using verse 1-8 and then 11, 12, 13 and then down to verses 16 and 17. That they be evil, but it plenty say it that way because you always get also, I'm sure you know that, but whether they're most fun. But what we're having in the bulletin, it's the number of, in the hymnal. So there what we are singing, the same thing of what we're reading here, we'll be reading in the evening, it will be given. Verse 1-4 and 7-8 and 11 and 12. Now that's exactly what we're talking in the scripture now, as you have the same numbers here, but by way that way. Thirdly is a little different, and that is it sees from my background is such that it's very in my own thinking, and both it helps your thinking too. Because now we're having 3 points. What? Number one, we're repeated in here right for us. It said King David's confession. And that is number one. But that is number 16 or 13. Then secondly, it's King David's determination that you have later. And the second point is verse 12. And then verse 3, the third point is David's keeping the quest, and you end up now in verse 11. Got that? It's not good. I'm sure it's in pretty good shape. It's also good. And thank you. It's Psalm 86. We're looking at again verses 1 through 8. Verse 11 and verse 16, it says then. And this is a greater case. Incline your ear, O Lord, and answer me, for I am afflicted and needy. Preserve my soul, for I am a godly man. O you, my God, save your servant who trusts in you. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for to you I cry out day long. Make glad the soul of your servant. For to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. For you, O Lord, are good and ready to forgive, and abundant in loving kindness to all we call upon you. Give ear, O Lord, to my prayer, and give heed to the voice of my supplication. The day of my trouble I shall fall upon you, for you will answer me. Hear. There is no one like you among the gods, O Lord, nor are there any words like yours. Now bound, verse 11. Teach me your way, O Lord. I will walk in your teeth. Unite my heart to your yea. I will give thanks to thee, O Lord, my God, with all my heart, and will glorify your name forever. For your loving kindness toward me is great, and you have delivered my soul from the depth of soul. Down to verse 60. Turn to me and be gracious to me, O grant your strength to your servant, and save the son of your enemy. Show to me a sign for good, that those who hate me may see it and be ashamed, because you, O Lord, have helped and be frightened. The congregation. Once again, this is a psalm. It came to a probably written during the time or just after Absalom's rebellion. David had nowhere to flee and sent to Jehovah. In his distress, beloved, David strengthened himself through what God had done for them and how he had prayed for added grace. In our afflictions and distresses, let us learn from King David, for David was that real type of a true believer. As he considered what the believer's strength is in Jehovah God. But then this evening, we're looking at this text in three heads. Number one, King David's confession. Secondly, King David's determination. And thirdly, King David's request. And here we go, backing up the one again. King David's confession. We're looking into verse 13. In this text, King David confessed the greatness of Jehovah God's loving kindness. Now, this text tells us about the confession of King David in verse 13. One more time. Well, for your loving kindness toward me is great, and yieldeth the river of my soul from the depths of Sheol. The word that is often translated, ripping kindness, is a word in the Hebrew. And the translation of that Hebrew word includes God's kindness, his love, and even his mercy for his people. Oh, beloved, in that verse, King David was therefore remembering his own unworthiness, and he was remembering the covenant faithfulness of Jehovah God. When David was oppressed, he was, in fact, declaring again that Jehovah God does not reward his people according to their sin. Now this is how the psalmist has declared that truth in Psalm 103, verse 8, and in verses 10 and 11. Well, study verse 8. The Lord is compassionate, gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness down to death. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are up here, so great is his loving kindness toward those who fear him. Beloved, it is the same Hebrew word translated loving kindness in all due meaning of those tense. Thus, beloved, there is the suggestion that the idea of mercy does indeed obey the meaning loving kindness. David was declaring that he was worthy of punishment. Yes, that Jehovah God in loving kindness had suspended the sentence. That's clearly seen in the following phrase, verse 10. Now in that text, David confessed that Jehovah God had delivered him from destruction. Remember what the text said in the bottom of the verse 13, quote, you have delivered my soul from the depth of Sheol. Here, David explained how he had experienced Jehovah God's loving kindness. Well, look, David was in fact confessing that he did not deserve to be delivered from his enemy or from the judging of Jehovah God. So this expression, quote, from the depths of Sheol, included the idea of oppression and distress then, and the judgment of hell. Now in that text, the psalmist declared that Jehovah God's loving kindness was seen in that David was delivered from the judgment that he deserved. Such judgment is, of course, what all men, such one of us, beloved, did serve. That declaration can only be a confession of faith in the Messiah, that is, a confession of faith in Jehovah God as his promised forgiveness. Oh, beloved, you must know that we all deserve hell because of our sin, that is, because of our original sin, and also of our actual sin. Jehovah God cannot permit sin to be unpunished. Therefore, Jesus Christ came and he died for the sin of his people. Now, beloved, the sins of all of the sins of the true believer are imputed to Jesus Christ. and all the costs he descended into hell to pay the penalty for those sins.
Only thus, beloved, could the Messiah deliver David
and all true believers from the extreme punishment of hell. Hence, David the punisher, excuse me, David the psalmist in this psalm is not only a type of every true believer, but David is also a marvelous type of Jesus Christ.
Oh, beloved, the passage of Matthew tells us that Jesus, the Savior, cried out on the cross in Matthew 27, verse 46.
About the night owl, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," that is, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" In those moments on the cross, Jesus was forsaken by the poverty he endured in his body and soul, all the righteous judgment that our sin is there. In that suffering, Jesus Christ did indeed redeem and purchase us body and soul to be his own.
Therefore, beloved, we've been saved by grace through faith, as Paul said in Ephesians 2, verses 8 through 10, quote,
"For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift, God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. But we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, so that we would walk in them." That is indeed the confession of every true believer, that we have been saved from hell by the loving kindness, that is, by the mercy bodily.
Well, that was... Here's the second point.
And the second point is King David's determination. Again, we're now looking into verse 12. This is what this text tells us in verse 12. Well, "I will give thanks to you, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and will glorify your name forever." The text tells us that David determined to give thanks to Jehovah God. Now, beloved, David declared that he would render to Jehovah God the praises that were due unto him. And this is exactly what the text tells us at the beginning of verse 12. Well, "I will give thanks to you, O Lord my God." This is the requirement of the second commandment. Rightly acknowledge Jehovah God is to acknowledge him as the only true God to whom all praise belongs, because our God has made the covenant of grace in which he has promised to be our God, and he has chosen us. He is keep. Oh, beloved, this is a duty of every believer, as the psalmist wrote in Psalm 150, verses 1 and 2, from, "Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty expanse. Praise him in his mighty deeds. Praise him according to his excellent greatness." As with all the other duties of the believer, it is not to be done in order to earn or to merit the favor of God. That is, our salvation is a grace, and it is a grace alone.
Having done everything perfectly, if that were possible,
we should still have to confess the words of the slave in Group 70, verse 10, quote, "So you too, when you do all the things which are commanded you, say, 'We are unworthy slaves,
we have done only that which we ought to have done. Such praise, beloved, is the rendered by the believer, the Lord. Out of love, out of thankfulness, and out of gratitude for God's loving kindness towards him. Now the text tells us that David determined to give thanks to Jehovah God and all his heart. This is exactly what this text said in verse 12 again. Well, I will give thanks to you, O Lord my God, with all my heart. Your thanks and praise, which has been offered by the psalmist in the text, is not that of formalistic worship. Once again, beloved, the thanks and the praise which has been offered by the psalmist in this text is that with which his heart has been filled. Every person's heart is filled with those things that are the most meaningful to that person. And any person who truly understands that judgment of hell from which she has been delivered must also realize the greatness of his salvation and have a great fill with thanksgiving. The truly believing person's heart is thankful that Jehovah God has made the covenant of grace with him. On the basis of that covenant is his God. We find that the text tells us that David determined to glorify Jehovah God forever. Once again, this is exactly what this text said in the end of verse 18. Well, I will give thanks to you, O Lord my God, all thy heart, and will glorify your name forever. Well, beloved, David declared that by his words and by his actions. In other words, David declared in all of his life he would ascribe to Jehovah God the glory due to him. This, of course, means that David declared that he would truly glorify Jehovah God, not just on the Sabbath day, but through every day of the week and through every week of the life that God would give today. It means, beloved, that it's all stated in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31. It says, well, whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all glory of God. Again, this is the duty which the First Commandment, when rightly understood, requires the people of Jehovah God. These things David determined to do, as indicated by the words, I will, out of love, out of gratefulness, and out of gratitude for Jehovah God's loving kindness. How much more ought we to determine to do the same for King David? Look forward to the coming of the Messiah. We have the full revelation of the whole Bible. Now, that's the second way. Here's the third. Third point is King David's request. And now we're looking at verse 11. Finally, this is what this text said right again in verse 11. Was, teach me your way, O Lord. I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to your need. The text tells us that David prayed for the request of Jehovah God, that God might teach in his word. Now, beloved, this is exactly what the text said in the beginning of verse 11 again. One more. Teach me your way, O Lord. Here David so played his inability, beloved, to understand Jehovah God to all as he wanted to understand it fully.
But where David spoke, it was his determination to serve Jehovah God.
But he found that within himself he was unable to completely understand God's word as he wanted to understand it. David then heard Jehovah God's word read. He had studied Jehovah God's law, and he had even a third his time.
Great is you. Over God's law, very taught, both way of the Lord.
Now, beloved,
there was an echo of that thought through the word of the psalmist in Psalm 119, verse 18. Quote,
open my eyes that I may behold wonderful things from the law. David, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is teaching us that merely teaching Jehovah God's word is merely hearing the law read is not enough. It is only as Jehovah God by His Spirit opens our eyes through the Scripture that we are able to understand it.
That was true for David, one of Jehovah God's prophets.
How much more so is it true that you and I ought to continually
be praying this? That is in fact by person work of the Holy Spirit, which John the Apostle wrote in John 16, verse 15-12. But when the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you to all the truth,
or He will not speak one ears only initiatives. But whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will disclose to you what is to come. If you'll glorify Me,
for He will take on and will disclose to you.
Now the text tells us that David prayed the request to Jehovah God that He might teach David to truly love Him and to serve Him with his whole heart.
Although this is exactly, once again, what does that sense in the ending of verse 11, both?
Unite live heart,
fear your name.
David's inability to further manifest the as he stated that he had being
part of Jehovah God, he was unable to complete the performance.
David discovered that he was bold
to serve his own words and to serve his own desires,
and he was saying exactly what we sing in the stanza in the Ezekiel 4:28, in the book, with stop like I in the bluff.
It goes like there in the last days here.
Prone to wander,
Lord, I fear. Well, dummy, David did say
that it was only as Jehovah God graciously imparted His Spirit that bore David's heart to obedience that David can even begin to live
with Jehovah God's law.
It is only as Jehovah God works in us, both to will and to do of His good pleasure, that we can begin to love and to serve Jehovah God properly.
That is exactly what Jehovah God's word says in Philippians 2, verse 13, quote,
for it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure.
So it is with each of us.
And so we need to pray daily for Jehovah God's Holy Spirit to empower us and to enable us to live and to serve Him better and better day by day.
Never Let us begin, beloved. That it is just because Jehovah God is at work in us, that we are called boldly to work out our own salvation, that is, we are really the called upon to work out our own sanctification.
Well, that's a good point. Good.
As David is the basis of all prayer, all comfort is that Jehovah God is Christ has done for us.
Oh, dear friend, call upon the name of the Lord in faith, for salvation is promised to all. Call upon the name of the Lord, even in grief, persecution, and affliction. We, out of love, thankfulness, and gratitude, should be certain to praise and glorify our God. Our sinfulness demonstrated in that we often don't deserve this praise as the glorified.
Oh, beloved, let us seek Jehovah God's forgiveness by confessing there our sin. Let us join with David in his prayer, that in learning his way and fearing his name, we might begin out of love and thankful praise and to glorify him more and more.
Thank Father, every GD or thinker, it's we be our theme of certainty, with all the apart. Our Father, teaching us the understanding of any inability to speak it before your word at your love. Father, grant to us the Holy Spirit to empower us, to enable us, as love and serve you better and better day by day.